morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Some of you know that. You've been watching this for a while. Day after the 4th of July, we're taping this show. It will hopefully run tomorrow on Thursday. But wonderful 4th of July parade. Kudos to all the people who went, all the people that had anything to do with it, and to the great TV radio coverage from WTBR and PCTV. For all the people who couldn't make the parade and watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio, thank you all to everybody. But today I have with me State Representative Smitty Pignatelli. And I just will make this comment in the beginning. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the school committee, Mayor Tyer, and the mayor's office, excuse me, Peter Marchetti and the city council, and or anybody who's sitting on the curb waiting for the 4th of July parade on the 5th. It's not coming. good morning, Representative. How are you?
Very good, Bill. It was great seeing you at the parade and you and your lovely wife. And it was just a great day all the way around, not only for Pittsfield, but for the Berkshires.
Well, I will tell you, it was impressive to see our delegation walking, at least you and Trish and Paul Mark, our state senator now, walking in the parade, because that shows me you're connected with the people.
Well,
you want to be with the people. They're not just an occasion, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Years ago, when I first started, the delegation walked separately, you know, and then I had the idea, you know, I'm going back 20 plus years now. I says we should march as a group. So we've been doing that ever since, because it showed some unity. Yeah. It shows that the state rep from Pittsfield has similarities with me in South Berkshire, and the state senate works with the House. So yeah, no, this is something we started several years ago, and we're small but we're mighty. We stick together pretty well. Yeah. We can agree to disagree, but I think it sends a strong message to march together in that special day.
You know, and it's so true, and I've said this on the radio, people are probably tired of hearing it, but it has to be said. There, you know, in Boston, I have relatives who were born and raised in Southie, and I tell this story. The first one is a priest, the second one is a cop, and the third one is a politician. Now, they have more people in a square block representing Boston in the legislature than we have in Berkshire County. Yeah. But because our delegation, one, I think, is senior and respected. And I think both of those, if anybody knows anything about politics, seniority, whether it's the House of Representatives or the United States Congress, has a great deal of weight with it. But also you can have a lot of seniority and not be respected. And I find our delegation, and I try to stay up to date on what's going on in BIST, but they're very well respected. You have chairmanships. I mean, I can't say enough what you do, and what we're getting back is amazing.
Yeah,
for a small constituency, we give it a lot of back from you guys.
Yeah. No, I think we do pretty well, considering we're the farthest from the state house as possible. We're shrinking in number, unfortunately, but what we've all worked hard on is to try to build a 413 delegation, not just a Berkshire delegation, and right. I think we've been pretty successful doing that, so that we're leveling the playing field. I think you hit the nail on the head, Bill, that, you know, there's three state reps for the Berkshires. There's 21 for Boston alone.
Yeah.
So every day we go to work, we're outnumbered. So try to build a bigger 413 coalition, kind of levels that playing field, and it lets us kind of stand up and be noticed a little bit more. So seniority is important. You know, I'm the dean of the Western Mass delegation, which tells you there's been a lot of turnover in the last several years, to have me be the longest serving member. So we have a lot of new faces, a lot of people trying to learn and earn their experience. But trying to pull us together, as you know, with your Washington days, it's a very, very important aspect of successful governing.
Yeah, and you know, we have to take our hat off to with our Congressman Richard Neal. Congressman Neal was the chairperson of the Ways and Means Committee. He's a very respected member of Congress on both sides of the aisle, because he's not a flash in the pan. The dude's been there a while, and he's negotiated some really difficult and hard things for us, the people. I mean, he comes home on the weekends, Congressman. Yeah. He doesn't hang down there with the boys and the girls.
Yeah. Well, as you know, in politics, there's elected officials who it's a race to the, what I'll call the fax machine. It's a race to Twitter. It's a race to Facebook or social media to kind of brag about what they're doing. Where Congressman Neal is, he just goes about his business. You've never seen him on a Sunday morning talk show.
No.
You know, and he's done that intentionally because he doesn't want anything that he said taken out of a snippet out of a video that could be totally distorted. Yeah. So he has sworn that off to have him in the very high ranking position, even in the minority party now.
Yeah.
Like you said, that mutual respect, I think, is effective. And we're very blessed to have someone of his caliber representing us here in the Berkshires.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're lucky also too that with Congressman Neal, I watched some thing. You're right. He's the minority head. But the chair, the new chair, Republican chair, asked him, what did he think?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so he's respected. You're respected. You're a how long have you been in office?
21 years as state rep.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. You've gotten to see the traffic in Boston get heavier.
Well, especially after COVID. Yeah, it's really incredible. And I think the public transit system in Boston is still a lot of problems. I don't think people have, they haven't earned people's trust again since the COVID situation. So they're deciding to take their own cars to work, which that traffic, we can make good time from here to say, you know, Fitchburg or Natick, but then it could be a parking lot. Trying to get in for the last 20 miles. So public transit is a big issue, but gas prices are down, as you know, compared to last year. People are feeling more comfortable about, you know, being in control of their own schedule. So I'm going to drive my own car.
Yeah.
It's almost gridlock. It's almost gridlock down there.
I know. I go into, to the Mass General Brigham. And if I'm not through Framingham, if no later than 6:30, then I'll be there at 7:30.
Yeah.
And and coming home's the same thing. We try to hit it, but you're a big I don't know what's happening here. This thing going goofy. I haven't left. I'm really still here. There I'm back. There I'm there. I don't know. It's a Monday, or not Monday, but it's a day after a holiday kerfuffle. One of the things too that I have noticed is that you guys are really pushing the rail, and boy, I couldn't be more behind that than you could shake a stick at.
Well, the thing is, we're pushing the rail, but we're extra pushing West-East rail. Let it begin in the Berkshires. And like I've said before, Bill, I've all long imagined an economic corridor from Albany, New York, Berkshire County, Springfield, Worcester, Boston, west, east, east, west. And if that could happen legitimately, then Pittsfield would become a very legitimate north-south connector from Pittsfield on rail through the Berkshires into Connecticut that the state already owns. So I think that could be a very effective economic tool. People are very mobile. We've learned from COVID that people kind of gravitated towards the Berkshires. We have to do some things to try to retain them here. I think, you know, uninterrupted cell phone service, high-speed broadband. But public transit is a key thing. And I think if I could get on a train in the Berkshires and get to Boston, to South Station in 2.5 or even 3 hours, and then I could take a cab or I could actually walk to the State House, I would do that in a second. Because it would be productive time on those 3 hours on the road instead of being stuck in my car. I can't look at text messages or emails or make phone calls. I could have a productive 3-hour commute.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the effective and the attractive part of, but we got to start it out west. If we don't start it out west, I don't believe my kids will live long enough to see it get to the Berkshires. So that's the full court press we're putting on, and I hope we can garner enough support to get it done.
I agree 200%, and I know your dad With the Turnpike, there's some history there. He insisted and fought because he was so respected, as you are, to have it start here and head east, because he was smart enough, as all of us are, that if it starts in the east, they think, oh, we're in the Berkshires, it's Worcester, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with the Mass Turnpike, you hit the nail ahead. It started in West Stockbridge. Not a lot of people are surprised when they say that. But it started in the Berkshires, but it gave Boston time to figure out how to handle the funnel effect, all these extra cars coming into the funnel. So it gave them time to figure out their own transit in Boston. I really believe the same could be argued for the rail. To avoid the funnel effect by just adding more trains into Boston, start it out here, build the infrastructure, the stations, the track, the crossings, buys Boston time to figure out how to alleviate the funnel effect, which would cause further gridlock. So that's why I think it's important. And Congressman Neal has been a real champion of being out here, starting the West. But I actually had a meeting with the new Secretary of Transportation just 2 weeks ago. And I made that pitch again that start out here gives you more time to figure out how to handle the increased people, traffic, and people coming into Boston.
Yeah, and again, that's what we want. We want people coming out from Boston out here. We want people from here going into Boston. And for all of our economies, I think it was this morning I saw, there maybe is either this morning or yesterday, an article in the Globe about people leaving the state. You know, but we're also having people come in. They never cover that.
Yeah, I think people will be coming. If you look at what's going on around the country now, you know, the visitmass.com, the state's travel agency, they're putting billboards in Florida and in Texas about coming to Massachusetts. Now, that could be for women's productive rights. I would argue it could be for climate. You know, you look at the oppressive heat down in Texas and in Louisiana and Florida today. You know, we've had a lot of rain this spring, but we don't get the extremes of the climate. We could be attractive for people coming here for climate protection. I think there's opportunities and a lot of good things that we've done with women's productive health and other issues. I think that could be a very attractive for people to come into Massachusetts. But like you say, they don't cover that enough. I joked with Paul Mark, you know, he really did a lot of work on this, on the census.
Oh, yeah.
For our redistricting. I wish the census was last year and not the year before during COVID, because our numbers would have been dramatically different, because people came here. You know, the town of Lenox, they just released their hotel motel money.
Yeah.
There was record-breaking amounts of money spent on hotel rooms in the Berkshires alone. So people came here. People camped out here. They put their stakes in the ground and bought real estate in the Berkshires. But unfortunately, they don't appear on the federal census. And I think that's a problem that I wish the federal government would recognize, because we have people here, even if they're only here for, you know, 5 months and 30 days, they're still here in the Berkshires using our services, using our roads, using our bridges, but yet they're not accounted for from the standpoint that we get those federal dollars. So we should have a prorated census count for part-time residents. And I think that would be a game changer for second home areas like the Berkshires.
And I don't disagree with that, because we see it. I mean, we see it here in the Berkshires, all the Florida plates.
That's exactly right. So,
right?
So if they're here for 5.5 months still, but declare their residency in Florida for tax purposes or whatever, we get no benefit. We get no benefit from that. And I think that's a problem that's going to continue to haunt us for years to come.
And you know, I've lived in Texas where it's been 101. I used to bring 3 shirts to work with me.
Yeah.
I did, because if I had to go out and for any reason, for work reasons, it'd be stuck right to you.
Right.
We lived in Kansas. And this time of the year, spring, is Tornado Alley, baby.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And a little war story, but You're probably not going to believe this, but the Polish princess really didn't have a big desire to move to Kansas, but she did because you got to go where they send you. Anyhow, our first night in the house, and all of a sudden we had sheets because we were still putting up curtains, still moving in. The sheets stuck to the window. and you heard this rumbling. And she said, "I told you, a tornado." And I said, "No, it's not. It's just the phone rang. Hey, Bill, yeah, get down to your basement. There's tornadoes all around you."
Yeah. Well, think about it, Bill. My daughter lives in Southern California. Yeah. They have the oppressive heat, earthquakes, and wildfires. They have the oppressive heat in the Texas Panhandle area. They have hurricanes in the Gulf. They have tornadoes in Florida. We have snow.
Yeah,
we have snow. You know, so yeah, it frustrates us for those couple of days while we're dealing with shoveling snow or removing the snow. But overall, I think we should use it as a marketing tool. Our politics is better, despite what some people may think. Our politics is better. Some of our social programs are better. The climate is a serious issue that I think could be very attractive for people to come here and move and set up their shop.
Well, the climate is look at the parade day. It was a little humid. Yes, it rained at the end. But overall, it was a great day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I said, I lived in Texas where, you know, it would get so hot you couldn't go outside. You know, I mean, but
well, my cousin lived in Savannah, Georgia years ago, and she says summers remind me of winters in the Berkshires. And I go, "What are you talking about?" She said, "We go in the Berkshires, you go from your heated house to your heated car to your heated office, and that's what we did. Nobody was ever outside. In Savannah, Georgia, they went from their air conditioned house to the air conditioned car to the air conditioned store or office. You never saw kids playing outside in the summertime in Savannah, Georgia, because it was too hot." So I don't know. I think we're missing an opportunity if we don't try to tout our wonderful attributes here in Massachusetts.
And you know, I get criticized. You're probably not going to believe this, but I get criticized a lot for being a cheerleader for Berkshire County, for Pittsfield, for the state. And I've lived all over the world, and I'm happy to call this home. You know, I see it's almost nationwide now, though. Smitty, you must see it too. The putting down of our country.
It's sad. The 4th of July parade was a great example that there is great pride in this country.
Oh, yeah.
But yet it's sometimes quickly forgotten about, and we just cast aspersions and arrows at politicians trying to do some things. But I think there's still more people trying to come into this country than they're trying to leave. So it's a pretty special place. We're still babies on the world stage when you think about it. We're not even 250 years old. We're still in a learning process on how democracy should work. But I think overall we've been pretty successful, and I think we're very fortunate. And for veterans like you and the veterans all around us in the Berkshires that saw a different world during war, how lucky were they and you to come home to a free society? And I think that's what sometimes we take for granted, and we ought to learn to appreciate and talk to veterans who saw the other side of the world, or saw a communist country and how a dictatorship works, and how fortunate we are. We can disagree on politics, but we can't dismiss the fact that we can disagree on politics without any consequences.
Yeah. I don't see people swimming from Florida to Cuba. I'm just saying, right? Off the top of my head, I haven't, maybe I've missed a news story or two.
And I heard it's the same distance.
Yeah, it is. unless you do a backstroke, and then you can and then backstroke back to Cuba. The state is pretty good with money.
Yeah, we're in great shape. I think we've been fiscally responsible. The federal government gave all states a lot of money, but how we spent and allocated those dollars was important. I think, I don't want to say we are conservative, but we are fiscally responsible, because as you know, the economy can go like this, In the ebbs and flows of revenue coming into the state, we try to flatten that curve as much as we can. I've told you before, Bill, in the last recession, we were one of the last states to feel the pinch because we had a healthy savings account, and we were one of the first states to get out of it because we had a healthy rainy day account. So that's just good fiscal management. And I'm very proud to say that we've done it the right way. And some people just want us to spend the money. We got all that money, spend it. We need to stretch it out and make sure this lasts, hopefully, 3 or 4 or 5 years before things settle down. So I'm very proud of what Massachusetts has done.
Well, my parents many years ago said, save, make sure you have enough saved for 6 months to cover your bills. And they lived by that. And I mean, they went without, we went without, so that they had that nest egg just in the event, because they grew up during the Depression.
That's right.
And you know, I think today everybody's too quick to take the plastic out. Now we're finding out, if you listen to the business news, some people, they're up to their ears in debt, just paying their mortgage on the plastic.
I worked at a local bank years ago, and I'd be driving around with my boss at that time, and I'd see, you know, I'll just use you as an example. It's just a fictitious one, but I'd be at a red light, and I'd look over and see, oh, geez, Bill's got a pretty fancy car and lives in a big, nice house. And I said, geez, Bill got money? What does he do for a living? And my boss at that time told me, says, you never know. People put out the optics that they're doing well.
That's right.
About 3 months later, this guy came into the bank looking for a loan, and I had to run his credit check, and I was shocked on how much debt he and his family had. So the appearance was great, but the reality was not. And I think it's too easy. I think we need to have some, I think we need to be teaching financial literacy starting in middle school.
I agree.
Don't wait till high school, because it's not a cash society, it's a cashless society. And these plastic cards, oh my God, I get a bill at the end of the month? How does that work? You know, instead of having to pay for something right there on the spot, it's become more of a challenge. So, I think financial literacy is important, and understanding what debt means and how you get out of it, because the interest rates that your credit cards are charging you, oh my Lord, I mean, 22, 25, 27%.
Yeah.
You know, that's almost criminal.
Yep. And no one's stepping in to try to help Joe and Mary six pack on the federal level with that, because I just really believe that people have to, they have to be responsible. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's some people, they're between a rock and a hard place. COVID put them there. You know, we're doing here just a kind of a station thing here. We are doing 28-minute interviews of local businesses, locally owned businesses, because I had people come to me in March and say, would kind of half-heartedly, you know, saying, if we don't have a big summer, we won't be here in the fall.
Right.
Because their lines of credit are out because they had to use them. Everything is up. Interests are up. And so talked it over. We are Pittsfield Community Radio, Pittsfield Community Television, and we believe in our community. And, I've had Deidre's Gowns on and Patrick's Pub and more to come. But our job, I think part of this program is to build up the people and to build up like you do. You go down there and you fight for us out here in the Berkshires. Yeah. I try to tell everybody it's not that bad. I understand everybody's got to tighten their belt. And this too shall pass, but don't pack up and head south, because that's a whole other adventure. I've lived, like I said, all over the world. I lived in the South, I lived in Texas, I lived in Arizona, I lived in South Carolina.
Well, you know what's interesting, Bill, is when my father and I were in business, many years ago.
Yeah.
I there was a business in Lenox. And we were both selectmen at that time. But he said, "Gee, Smitty, the locals don't support me in the wintertime." And I told the guy, I says, "Remember one thing. The day that you welcome me in July is the day that I'll be there in January." But I said, "Your attitude is you don't care about the locals in the middle of summer, because the place is buzzing."
Right.
But yeah, you complain when I don't show up at your restaurant in January. So my father's and my attitude, and now my brother Scott's attitude, is in a town of 5,000 people, that's 5,000 potential customers.
Yeah.
Businesses need to look at the locals as their year-round customers,
yes,
not just
seasonal days.
And I think that's what's sometimes missed out. And in the paper the other day, Bill, there's a brand new restaurant being opened in Lenox up by the Price Chopper. It's American Grill 110 or something like that. I forgot what the name it was, but they were going to open up this spring. They're now talking about late summer or fall because they can't get staff. Well, you didn't figure that out before you spent millions of dollars to renovate this place. But where is the workforce? That's what we need to get the workforce. But what's compounding it is the people's inability to find housing affordability.
Yeah.
All throughout the Berkshires. So if you're working in a local restaurant, making a minimum wage plus tips, how can you afford a $2,000 or $3,000 a month rent? So housing concerns are very serious and very real. That's going to dictate how the Berkshire economy responds. And if we're not careful, we're going to see our economy diminish. That's why housing opportunities, I think, are really important. But COVID, people came here, as you know, they overpaid for real estate.
Yeah.
They prices went up, but my salary didn't go up, you know? So people having a hard time finding housing affordability throughout the Berkshires, and that's going to be a serious problem.
I can't agree with you more. And more and more you see the prices. Yeah, you know, and there are people. A couple of times in the past year, I've had people knock on my door and ask if I wanted to sell my house. I said, absolutely, but where am I going to live?
Where are you going to go? That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, but I think rather than just give up, I like what's happening with you and the legislature, and you at least are acknowledging these problems. I don't want to get in a jackpot, but I don't think sometimes the Congress and the administration are acknowledging the problems as they are. You made a wonderful point, but why would you want to go to work, give up WIC and give up all these things to make minimum wage and tips?
Yeah, no, I think we collectively have to do a better job. And I've actually met with the new Secretary of Economic Development. The Eagle Mill Project in Lee is a great example. I personally, and this had great town support, I personally have been working on that project for 10 years.
I know.
They're finally, I think next week or 2 weeks, going to start the demolition. They're doing some remediation with asbestos and things like that. But they're now going to start demoing some of the old buildings on that property. 10 years into it. So I said, if we have a project that the town supports, that the state signs off on it, we got to get those dollars out the door much faster and in bigger quantities. Because you think about it, Bill. Think about the economy 10 years ago versus today. Dramatically different. Now, we can't just pull the plug and say we're done with the Eagle Mill. This is going to be a game changer for housing opportunities for in the center of Lee, the gateway to the Berkshires. This is going to be a game changer in a very positive way. But it shouldn't take 10 years to get this thing started. And I think that's the problem.
That and the railroad and the rail track. I mean, somebody said, well, you know, they have to do an environmental impact. I said, I've already done it. They said, oh, you have? I said, yeah. Take 1,000 cars off the Massachusetts Turnpike.
Right. That's right.
But what about the polywogs? We can relocate the polywogs. You know, sometimes some people, their argument is certainly that I don't criticize them, but look at the bigger picture. And
that's
the bigger picture is we're going to get all these cars off the road.
That's right. That's why you have to have visionary leaders that kind of look beyond the next election, look towards the next generation. And, you know, I looked at those hotel motel tax numbers in Lenox, and it was almost 40 years ago. My father is the one who initiated that local option motel tax. It was a three-member board of selectmen at that time. Yeah. It was a 2-to-1 vote not to recommend that to the voters of Lenox. Lenox took in over $4 million this past year alone. That tells me, Bill, if you do the math,
yeah,
$70 million was spent on hotel rooms alone in the town of Lenox, a town of 5,000 people last year.
Right.
For Lenox to reap $4 million. That's just the hotel rooms. Never mind the restaurants, the shops, the gas stations, any other ancillary benefits of having somebody come into this community. But my father had that vision to say, this is what's going to save the town of Lenox. Now, every selectman since then takes credit for it. But right. I was there. I was there when my father, who has spent his life as an electrician, one of the big hoteliers in Lenox at the night of the town meeting that it passed, he came up to my dad. He says, congratulations, Johnny. You've just done your last electrical job at my hotel. We never set foot in that guy's hotel again for the rest of my dad's life. But my father knew it was the right thing, and he sacrificed his own livelihood for the betterment of this community. And here we are 40 years later. I tell you, it's what's made the town of Lenox viable, financially responsible, and investing millions of dollars every year without touching the local taxpayer's pocketbook. That's vision. That's what we need more of in government. We don't have enough of it, in my opinion. We have too many politicians worried about the next election and not the next generation. My dad was a visionary leader that needed to look at the next generation. Long after he was gone, what was this town going to look like? I think guys like my father have a lot to do with why Lenox looks the way it does.
I can't disagree at all. And as you know, and for the people in the audience, I don't call a lot of people Mr. I really don't. But I always refer to Smitty's dad as Mr. Pignatelli. And he would always say, no, John. I said, no, there are very few people I call Mr. You are one of them. Because as a kid and as someone involved in with Conte and others in politics, those politicians of that era didn't run to the television. They ran to the people. What do you need? Not what the reporter wants me to say or whatever. You know, going back a little bit to what you said in the first part of the show, Smitty, one of the reasons, and Congressman Neal said this on air, I don't, but he said, I like coming on this program because it's a conversation. It's right. Not a 15-second snippet. Then you edit down to 5 seconds. And it, when I listen to it. And that's why I like doing these shows with the people who make the decisions so that the people can hear it. And I think yesterday at the parade, if you were there, you saw how well-received people clapped, and greeted and cheered for our delegation, Paul Mark, Smitty, and Trish Riley Booger, because we do appreciate them being in the parade, but also what they do for us the other 365 days a year. We have to take a quick break. This guy, you see, the good-looking guy, his name is Smitty Pignatelli. His first name is Representative, and he represents, now he's up in Dalton, so he's all over the place. I will say this, to say that he's got our interest at heart would be a true understatement. And when I say our interest, I mean all of the voters of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Stay tuned. More to come.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. The guy you see there, his name is, first name, Representative, middle name Smitty, last name Pignatelli. And he's been there for a while. He's senior. He's chairman of a person. But more importantly, in my opinion, and he cares about us. I mean, this entire delegation goes down to Boston swinging the bat. Now, do they always hit the ball? No. But they're swinging the bat. They're not standing there waiting for somebody to throw some crumbs. And that's what makes them, in my opinion, different from some others through the years, not just recently. I've been, you know, I know I don't look it, but I passed the mid-70 mark. So, but seriously, Smitty, what do you see the challenges?
I think the challenges, well, you know, it's funny, but the new governor started in January. Yeah. A little slow to get things started. Unfortunately, here we are in early the first week of July. Our budget's still not done yet. I mean, the House version, the Senate version are done, but it's still stuck in conference committee. So we had to do a one-month supplemental budget last week to get us through July. So that's always a disappointment when we don't get the budget done on time. But I think the challenges are, how do we deal with the housing affordability? Food insecurity is still a serious problem here in the Berkshires. But I think those two are tied together. I think housing insecurity, food insecurity. Clearly, there's help wanted signs everywhere you go in the Berkshires. So I think the economy is buzzing, but we need more help. When a restaurant can't open because they can't get staff, that's a problem. The good news that Berkshire Health System just announced last week is that they're attempting to reopen.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is going to be a game changer. It's an opportunity that North Adams, which was not owned, I think it's important to clarify, the North Adams Hospital was not owned by Berkshire Health Systems. It was owned separately. But they were given an opportunity 20 plus years ago to become a critical access hospital at the same time that Fairview Hospital was. And the leadership at that time in North Adams said, no, we have a different agenda. Well, Fairview Hospital would have been closed today without that critical access designation. And what happened 10 years ago? North Adams Hospital closed. So The announcement from Berkshire Health Systems, I think this is huge. The delegation is working very closely on this to make sure that's a game changer. You think about, you live in North Adams or Florida or Clarksburg, you know, you either have to go to Vermont or go to Pittsfield to go to a hospital. To have one in your own community, I think, is special. This could be a real economic boom to North Berkshire County, and I'm really all for it. I saw what it's done in Great Barrington in my district, and I really applaud Berkshire Health Systems for, they could have just ignored it. Hey, it's an emergency shelter. We're doing our thing. The fact that they're willing to make an investment financially to reopen that hospital, I think could potentially really be a home run. It's going to take some time, but I'm really optimistic about that.
Yeah, it's in today's healthcare world, it is desperately needed.
Yeah.
It's not like, everybody's got a family doc who will come to the house or whatever. Even, I mean, my doctor retired. Fortunately, I have the VA. But, I'm looking to get another, what do I call it, family physician. But nobody's taking new patients.
Right. That's right.
You know, so I just really think, as far as the new governor, I don't know about the inner workings of who's who in the zoo and who got appointed and who got bounced or whatever. But I think I like her. I think she has a different vision. Time will tell, but I like Charlie Baker. I mean, I didn't have to work with him, but I like some of the stuff he did through COVID. I mean, that would burn out a saint because, you know, they were getting mixed messages from the feds and, you know. Yeah. But Yeah.
No, I think this new team is going to be good. I think we were spoiled in many ways by the Baker-Polito administration. Baker was out here. I mean, the day after he was originally sworn in, he was in at Massmart. Karen Polito, who I've known personally for over 20 years, I served with her in the House. She visited every single community in the Commonwealth at least twice. And that includes Florida and Clarksburg, Mount Washington, with 150 people. She made it a point to visit every community. So yeah, I'm optimistic about the Healey Driscoll administration, but yet they haven't been out here. They haven't come out to the Berkshires outside of Pittsfield or North Adams. And I think that's a big mistake. And I've told them repeatedly, that's a mistake. You have to understand what's going on in every little nook and cranny of the Massachusetts. In the Berkshires, I'm very parochial. But come out to Dalton, come out to Lenox, come out to Tyringham, New Marlborough, see what the inner workings of those small towns are about and what some of the barriers and challenges that they have so you can better understand what we're advocating for in Boston. So, like I say, I'm optimistic, but I need them to come out here and visit places other than Pittsfield and North Adams.
Well, Charlie Baker, Duval Patrick, because he had his house here. I mean, you could bump into him at the farmers market.
That's right.
And I've always admired him for that. Always admired him for supporting Western Mass. But you're right. I hope that they listen to you, because I think it's important for us, for the people, but also for the state. Because there's a lot of things that we have in the Berkshires that they don't have, but they could it could help them. I went to Kids for Harmony the other night down at Ojawa Hall. Ojawa Hall is such a gem. Tanglewood is such a gem. And every so often like I said, a cousins would say, "Hey, we're coming out. We're going to make a overnight trip out to the Berkshires to go to Tanglewood." Overnight. I think tourism now, tourism is a big dollar for us, big dollar item.
It's the economic driver of the Berkshires, and the area that we really need to put a focus on is to try to stretch out that season. You know, we've talked for years about the shoulder season, spring and fall. I've actually talked to folks at Tanglewood and the BSO about Ozawa Hall. Maybe one night a week, a Saturday night in September. You know, September's beautiful, the fall foliage, you know, the nights get a little cooler in September, early October, but having a concert or a performance that attracts maybe 5 or 6,000 people, not 25,000 people, could stretch out that season. And I say the same thing for the Colonial Theater or Shakespeare and Company. Stretch out those seasons. If we can make it more of a year-round economic driver, travel and tourism, I tell you, the optics from the outside looking in would say, oh my God, the Berkshires are beautiful. Unbelievable natural beauty, world-class culture in the arts, good buzzing economy, plenty of job opportunities from healthcare to hospitality. Maybe we'll move out there because it's not an overnight trip. It could be a day trip. And if we do the rail, think about it. Live here, work there. Why couldn't you live in the Berkshires and work in Albany, New York? Live in the Berkshires and work in Worcester, Massachusetts, or vice versa. Those are the opportunities that would, you know, I keep talking about, others need to start talking about. And I think that's what's going to make the Berkshires continually be a special place. And then, Bill, we're going to see the reversal of our population decline. People are going to want to come here and plant their roots and be able to go out for a hike on a Saturday afternoon without having to physically get in your car for 2 hours to do it.
I've said this to the point that people, I'll probably get hate mail afterwards, but Albany is the nano center, right? Did you ever see Albany? No. When they were doing their recruiting blitzes, what did you see? Hiking, camping, fishing, museums, all the stuff we take for granted. I think if the state wants to spend, I'm going to have to call the chairman, the Senate chairperson of the Cultural Committee, Senator Mark. Say, make one of those great videos that capture all the you know, this generation, it's not about their job. It's about their entire life. I won't get into specifics, but one kid, he goes for an interview with somebody I know, and he sits down. He says, first things first, I don't work nights and I don't work weekends. Can you imagine starting an interview like that?
Right, right.
I mean, I would go in humble pie. When do you want me to work?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill, think about it. If you drew a 2.5-3 hour driving concentric circle around Berkshire County.
Yeah.
There's about 35 million people within that circle.
Yeah.
So if we have a strategy to, you know, promote this area, you know, get in your face, get on your television in Vermont or New York City and talk about the Berkshires. I was watching Jeopardy last night. It was amazing. They talked about Christopher Reeve. And Olympia Dukakis came to this theater in Williamstown, Massachusetts, in what hills? And the answer was the Berkshires.
Berkshires.
Jeopardy is talking about the Berkshires.
Yeah.
I've seen TV shows that talk about the Berkshires. We need to capitalize on that and make it a desirable destination for people to come, not only to visit, but the initial visit could lead to a potential return or a permanent move to the beautiful Berkshire Hills. And I think I'm very bullish on the Berkshires. And I think there's great opportunities we need to capitalize on.
When my son lived in New York City itself, we would go down there, and a couple of times we were checking into a hotel, and they fill out the, oh, I went to camp in the Berkshires. This is a guy at the desk.
Yeah.
Or a restaurant. Oh, I was, the maitre d'. Oh, I was at the Berkshires. And you're right. We have a gem. We got to get selling it.
We got to get selling it. I mean, I think I'm glad you mentioned the camps, Bill, because all throughout the region, amazing summer camps. I think our economic development team should be working with them on a reunion networking opportunity.
Oh, brilliant.
People who spent summers here going to camp.
Yeah.
When they get to be, 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60 years old, you know what? I remember going to the Berkshires as a kid. Let's go back. And I can show my significant other or my children, that's where I went to summer camp, and this is where we went swimming. And then, oh, my God, this is spectacular. But it gets people thinking. Tens of thousands of kids have come to camp here in the Berkshires over the last 40, 50 years. How about an alumni networking opportunity to get them back here? That's a missed opportunity as well.
You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get Paul Mark in the back seat of a car and the trial locks and drive him around and give him these ideas.
Yeah.
Because he never comes out of Peru. You know, I mean, he's stuck up there. You have to interview him, you know, by just screaming at him on the phone. What's your future?
I always joke with people, Bill, that, the job I have now is a temp job.
Yeah.
It's only good for 2 years. I love what I'm doing. I still got that fire in the belly. And I tell my staff, just do your job every day. And I truly believe, and I said this for
decades now,
I believe in my heart that the next election will take care of itself. So just do our job every day. And on election day, we're called politicians because we put our name on the ballot. I like to think of myself more as a servant. I'm there to try to help people. Yeah. It's pass or fail on election day. Whether I won by 50 votes or 5,000 votes, nobody remembers who came in second other than the person who came in second. That's what really it's all about. So if we do our jobs, the elections will take care of themselves. So what's my future look like? I have every desire to run for reelection next year, and hopefully the voters will say, keep doing a good work, Smitty, and we'll move on.
Well, as you know, I don't endorse because I just don't think that's fair. But here's what I do say. You know, a lot of people at some point in their life put their life on the line so that you could vote. And nothing upsets me more than when I hear people, I don't have the time. Really? You don't have the time. Well, the next time you go into a cemetery to put flowers on your parents' grave, when you see all them flies, you say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because they had the time. And I know this is kind of like a recruiting speech or voting speech, but I mean it to be. Because don't ever take for granted he'll get reelected. Don't ever take for granted your candidate will get reelected. Because I, through my lifetime, can tell you positions that were lost with 4 votes, 6 votes. So I drives me nuts when I, he's a shoe-in. No one is a shoe-in. No one.
Nobody's a shoe-in. I mean, the local town elections recently, the city elections in Pittsfield this fall, you know, we may be bragging about we had a 25% voter turnout, highest it's been in 5 years, or whatever it may be. That tells me the 75% of the people show up at home, you know?
Yeah.
And I think just actually, your vote matters. It could change the world. And look at West Stockbridge. The town is having to spend more money on a new election because the selectman's race over there ended in a tie vote with one write-in vote.
Yeah.
There was one write-in vote where it could have swung that election for either one of those people. And the one write-in vote was for Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
So whoever wrote in Humpty Dumpty didn't take election seriously, and they ended up in a tie vote. Now it's going to cost the town of West Stockbridge thousands of dollars to host a new election. So one vote does make a difference, and people need to show up and participate to show it works.
There's no question about it. And the take to just blow off this, and you know, I'm not happy with the country, then vote to change it.
That's right.
You know, you sitting at home just griping, I'm not happy with the country. Well, you know what? Nobody cares. You see anybody in there who cares?
Yeah. No, you're right. It makes such a difference. You look historically, you know, Andrew Johnson was avoid being impeached as the 17th president of the United States, excuse me, by one vote. Adolf Hitler got into power by one vote. So anybody who says my vote doesn't matter, there's two instances where it changed the course of history. One in a very negative way, obviously, but every vote matters, and people should to do their part.
I will tell you, it's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to me as a veteran. It's frustrating to me as a citizen. It's someone who gave, you know, been on the civil service side of the house, done a lot of things. And I just will tell you, I'm sorry to some folks. I don't agree with you, but I will never interfere with your right to say it, but don't belittle me because I won't agree with you.
That's right. Let's agree to disagree.
Started this program. I've had people on this program, honest to God.
Sure.
Honest to God, I wouldn't go to have a beer with a gun in my head, but they had a right to be on this program, and they had a right to be respected, and I had an obligation to get their opinion out.
Let's agree to disagree, and let's disagree without being disagreeable. And I said, an exchange of ideas or thoughts. If you and I disagree on an issue, convince me, Bill.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come around, or I'm going to try hard to convince you to come around to my line of thinking. That's how you get good things done, by talking to as many people as possible, because someone may have an idea that you've never thought of. So let's do it. Let's do engaging, but let's do it respectfully, and we can both learn from one another.
Representative Smitty Pignatelli, he's one of my favorite people to interview because it's what you see is what you get. There's no malarkey, as my Irish mother would say. And thank you for what you do.
I
bust you all the time. You know that. But I so sincerely appreciate what you do, not just for your district, but for all of Massachusetts. And I feel that way about the whole delegation, that we're fortunate to have you folks.
No.
The best to your entire family. I spoken with Scott. He said he could have a laborer opening if you don't make it.
Yeah. It'd probably be about 75 cents an hour.
Well, he was more like 55.
But, yeah, well, that's more than my father started me out as.
Oh, believe me. You know, I started working at the professional drugstore for $1.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Benny, thanks a million, bro. Have a great summer. I'm always here. If you got anything you want to get out, just have your folks get a hold of me.
Our paths will be crossing again, and I look forward to seeing you and the princess.
The princess will be there. We'll see you in, when is it? October, September, October.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
You bet. All right, folks, I got a couple of announcements and I'm going to let you go. Cabaret is running out. It's going to end on July the 8th. It's a magnificent presentation. Get down there and make sure that you see it. That's at the Barrington Stage. Million Dollar Quartet playing through the 17th at the Colonial. That's a must-see. That is a must-see. If you're into music or you're 50, 60, 70 years old, it's great music, great voices, great singers, great actors. It was terrific. I can't say enough good things about it. Berkshire Historical Society to present rewritten stories of women central to Melville and Hawthorne's new focus. That will be July 13th through the July 16th, 7:30 p.m. I will be interviewing a man very shortly who raises seeing eye puppies, and he's a wonderful guy. I've known him for not many years. But it's really if you want to do it, it's really a way of giving back of yourself and having a good time doing it too, because seeing eye dogs, they change people's lives. So that will be coming up. And what else do I have here? RSVP, that's coming up July the 12th. You saw that this morning. Played July the 12th down at the Berkshire United Way in the not-for-profit center. They'll be doing it. It's going to be a wonderful day, and it will be at the Innovation Center. More to come on that. You can call the Lori Torrey. She is the director of RSVP at 413-395-0110. Very important, folks. Pay attention here. Sunday, July the 16th, the Polish picnic is back. So there you go. Get back and enjoy the Polish picnic. That will be starting Sunday, July 16th, 12 noon to 5 p.m. There's going to be Polish kielbasa, kolumki, pierogi, hot dogs, American food. It'll be great. The Eddie Foreman Orchestra will be performed for your dancing and listening from 1 to 5. St. Joseph's Church, the Mother Church on North Street. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for all your support through the years. I've gotten some nice emails and texts from people. I do the best I can, and I know you don't always agree with every show I do, but everybody, this is Pittsfield Community Radio. This is Pittsfield Community Television. Everybody has a right to have their voice heard. There you go. God bless. Take care of each other. Why? Think about it. Each other, it's all we have. Be well. Happy post-4th of July.